Let us pray together. God, we thank you and we honor you for this another Sunday morning to be able to worship your name and to give your name the praise. Truly, God, it has been you that has kept us. It has been you who's watched over us. It's been you who has provided everything that we have needed. And God, we come on this morning just to give your name the praise. Thank you, God, for blessing our pastor, our first lady, our first family, for blessing our church. And we just ask you to continue to show yourself strong and mighty in our midst, continuing to bless us, direct us, guide us, heal us, make us anew in you. And now, God, I seek you, asking for your divine and powerful presence to be with me as I preach this, your word. We declare these things even now in the name of Jesus. We pray and ask it all. Thank you, God, and amen. Come on, put your hands together in the house and out there, even in your homes. Let's give God the honor and praise that he is due. I'm happy to give you a message from our pastor this morning that he and Alexis have both had negative tests for COVID. Amen. And they are getting better and doing well and getting stronger. Just a little tiredness and a little insomnia. So just keep them in your prayers. If the Lord says the same pastor will be here on next week preaching as he always does, and we're all looking forward to that, he will be preaching Luke's rendering of the birth of Jesus and entitling that Amazing Grace. Amen. And truly, God's grace is indeed amazing. I am here this morning prayerfully to finish out the series that he began several weeks ago under a question entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? And so well had he begun that we just kept right on flowing with it. And the debonair Aaron Dominic came through and preached to us about unity. And then Willie Winbury also came back talking to us about handling pain responsibly. And here I am today to attempt to answer that question as well. Where do we go from here? The answer is go forward. Go forward. Can I get everybody to say that? Go forward. And for that reason, I want to direct your attention to the book of Exodus and chapter 14. The book of Exodus and chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in your hearing at verse 15 and we'll conclude with verse 22. Again, Exodus 14, beginning at 15 and ending with verse 22. All right, let us stand as we read together. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on or go forward. Raise your staff and stretch it out, your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will burden the heart of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through the chariots and the horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. Then the pillar of cloud, which had also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between them and the armies of the Egyptian and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness for the one side and light to the other side, so neither were near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back from the east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through on the sea on dry ground with the walls of water to the right and to the left. You may be seated, and we praise God for his word on today. And God said to Moses, "Why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go or move forward." Amen. That is the word of God already blessed in our hearing, and we praise him for what he is doing. Amen. Again, the subject, go forward. Last week, I struck out for work as I normally do at about 5:30 a.m. And as I was traveling my normal route, I had forgotten that the on-ramp to Highway 67 North was going to be closed for that day. And there I was, stuck at a place where I couldn't get on the freeway where I normally got on. So I had to make an adjustment, make a U-turn, and get on to 287 South and make my way that way towards Waxahachie, only to find myself in bumper-to-bumper, snail-like paced traffic. Yes, there I was, sitting in traffic, moving inch by inch. I'd only gone about 3 miles in about 25 minutes. So concerned was I that I called my supervisor and told him, although I started out 2 hours early, I'm probably going to be late due to the traffic. And I'm telling you right now, I'm at least spiritual on certain days of the week, but I found myself flustered and frustrated and frazzled by what I was going through. At one point, I got so frustrated that I decided that I would just put in paid time off, turn around, and go back home and start the day all over again in my bed. But in spite of that, I decided to push forward. Can somebody shout, push forward? And so after a while, when I got to 287 and Highway 35, the traffic began to clear up, and I found myself again able to move freely throughout the traffic, finding myself at my destination only 3 minutes after the hour I was supposed to be there. Yes, I was frazzled and frustrated about my journey at its beginning. But at the end of it, I found myself there with just 3 minutes after the hour, and I thought to myself, it is probably a good thing that I decided to move forward. And I'm wondering this morning, has anyone here ever found themselves stuck in traffic? Have you ever found yourself in bumper-to-bumper snail pace traffic jam and got yourself, like me, frustrated and frazzled about your journey? Perhaps you've not been in traffic and stuck in traffic, but how many of us can admit to the fact that we've been stuck in the traffic of life? Because every now and then in this life, all of us can get stuck in the traffic of life. And by that I mean, my brothers and sisters, we get stuck in dead-end relationships. We get stuck in financial situations that we cannot get ourselves out of. We get stuck in an area where our bodies are sick and it seems there is no healing in sight. All of us throughout the course of this life, whether it be a dead-end job, a relationship, or some other problem that exists, all of us can find ourselves in traffic of this life. But I've come today to tell you and to tell me on today that you and I are better off whenever we move forward. I just wish that you would take a moment and look to the person next to you and say, you and I are better off when we move forward. And this issue of moving forward is right at the core and crux of our text for this morning, because the children of Israel are fresh out of Egyptian bondage, headed for Cana of Galilee and trying to find their way to freedom and to a future. But on their way to that freedom and to that future, they found themselves caught between a rock and a hard place. Yes, there were mountains all around them, no more water than they could swim or drink in front of them, and more than 600 chariots and a mighty mighty army of Egyptians coming up behind them. And the Bible says that when they saw the army and heard the chariot wheels and heard the hoof beats of the horses coming in their direction, the Bible says that the children of Israel were scared. Yes, that's right. They were afraid because now they found themselves in a place where they were stuck and they were being pursued by a mighty army, and they did not know what to do. In fact, they were in spiritual distress. Spiritual distress is when you find yourself and your life interrupted by an event that is disastrous and or stressful, and you find yourself in that place and you become unglued by the experience and wonder how you're going to get out of it, and worse, where is God in it? And I don't know about you, but I have found myself in this life in some spiritual distress where I had to question my own faith and the strength of my own faith and the validity of my relationship with God to get me through what I was going through. I guess you all are going to be spiritual on me today and are not going to admit to the fact that every now and then the bottom has fallen out of your life. And you thought because of your faith, because of your commitment, because of your Christianity, because of your dedication to the kingdom of God, that nothing bad should ever happen to you. But I got a wake-up call. Even the best of us have difficulties in this life. But I've come this morning to tell you, in spite of the sickness, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the job layoff, in spite of your physical problems, in spite of your financial difficulties, I've come to tell you to go forward. And this is exactly the message that God gave to Moses when the people cried out to God and then said to Moses, "Why didn't you just leave us alone? We were content to be slaves to Egypt. Why did you have to bring us out here? Wasn't there enough funeral homes in Egypt? Why did we have to come out here and die in the desert?" And I've come to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God gave the people some instructions: go forward. Now, it seems crazy that God would tell them to go forward because there was no place to go forward to, but to the water. But I've come today to tell you that faith keeps on stepping in spite of the obstacle that is in front of it. Can I get you to say that to somebody? Faith keeps on stepping in spite of the obstacle in front of it. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I've come to tell you to go forward. But you may ask, what will happen if I go forward? I want to tell you what will happen. The first thing I want you to see out of this text is if you go forward, you're going to go forward learning to work with what you have. Can I get you to say that with me? Work with what you have. Yes, that's right, my brothers and sisters. When it was time to go forward, God said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" It was the rod that God had already given him. And as a result of him getting the people and he getting to a place where there was nowhere to go, God said, I want you, Moses, to use what you have. Use that rod that I gave you and lift it up over the sea, and the sea is going to part for you. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that oftentimes when we find ourselves in difficulties, when we find ourselves dealing with problems that are far greater than we can handle, we are always looking around for something and someone to help us until we realize that there's nobody and nothing that can help us but God. And so today, I've come today to tell you that God admonished them to go forward, but he did so with the understanding that they had to work with what they had. Moses had to work with the rod that was in his hand. And so I've come, Brother Willie, on this day, Will Sanders, to tell you that God is going to bless you and going to bless me, but he wants us to know the way we're going to make it, Aaron, is that we are going to have to depend on what he has already given us, and with what he has already given us, God will use what we have to perform something miraculous in our lives that would have never happened if we didn't use what we had. Somebody shout, "What's in your hand?" And so I've come today, my brothers and sisters, to tell you that there's an awfully powerful benefit, and God works some great miracles whenever you will just use what's in your hand. Don't be waiting for something to happen. Make something happen. Don't be depending upon somebody to show up from some far place with a resource that you were not expecting. Use what you have, because I found out that the greatest miracles we will see in this life always have their genesis in what somebody has before they can get what it is thereafter. And my brothers and sisters, that happened with that widow in the Old Testament who had two sons and a husband who died, who was a prophet, and among the school of prophets. And the Bible says that she was in debt up to her ears, and she went to the prophet of God and begged for him for relief from her creditors. The prophet looked at her and asked her, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "I don't have but a jar with a little bit of oil in it." He said, "I tell you what to do. Go home and get your jar with the little bit of oil in it. Go around to your neighbors and collect all the jars that they have. Bring them into your house, and I want you to pour what is not enough into something empty." I think I'll say that again. He told her to pour what was not enough into something empty and keep on pouring. And see, faith always requires that you take the little bit that you have and use that as your resource. And if you in faith can believe in the multiplication power of God, God will take the little that you have and stretch it so that it can perform miraculous feats. And so the woman went and gathered all of the jars she could find and began pouring what was not enough into something empty. And she kept on pouring, and it wasn't enough. They had to go and get more jars. And she kept on pouring until she had no more jars around her. And the Bible says in that moment, the oil stopped flowing. She took her message back to the prophet and said, we have gotten all of the oil into as many jars as we can. He said, I tell you what to do. Take that oil, sell it, and pay off your debts. And then watch this, and watch that there's going to be a Roth IRA of value still left in the oil for you to set up a retirement plan for you and your sons, all because she started with what she had. I know that's not enough for you. It was a little boy with two fish and five loaves of bread who was the only one who brought some lunch to the Bible study. The Bible says that when the Bible study was over and they were hungry, Jesus says, where are we going to get food? The disciples looked around and came back with a little basket of lunch, two crackers and five sardines. And at that point, Jesus said, well, if that's all you have, sit them down. And he set them down, and he began to feed them, breaking off bread and breaking off fish until 5,000 men were fed, plus women and children. Why? Because whenever you give God what you have, God can multiply what you have and use that you have to perform a miracle in your life. But the miracle will always start with what you have. And so I'm telling you today, if you are going to live a free life and live a life with a bright future, you got to use what's in your hand. But not only, my brothers and sisters, do you have to use what's in your hand, but I've come to tell you, when you do, you will witness God's wonders. Can you say that with me? Witness God's wonders. I've come to tell you that you're not going to be an ear witness to God's wonders. You're going to be an eye witness to God's wonders. But the Bible says that that the angel who had been acting as a guide to the children of Israel when they began to advance, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord changed positions. He moved from being a guide to a guard. I like that because whenever you proceed, wherever God guides you, he will always provide for you. And what God did in this instance was used his angel to move from guide to protector, to guarantee that what the people needed by way of defense and protection would be there. Can I knock on your door just a minute and tell you, if you step out on God, if you go forward in obedience, if you do what it is God said, God will make sure that you're protected both from the rear, the front, and the sides. But not only that, watch the wonders of God. And not only was there an angel that moved from guide to guard, but the cloud that was providing shadow and shade for the people of God now changed positions, and now the cloud was behind them, between them and the Egyptian army, who had them outnumbered, outgunned, and eventually outdone. But here we are, my brothers and sisters. There is an angel between them. There is a cloud between them. But watch God change the power dynamic in this scene. Now the all-powerful, greatest army in known history, the Egyptian army, now have shade on their side. And that shade constituted darkness that was not only indicative of their misunderstanding of the power of God, but also put them in darkness, which began to depress them and not as feel as powerful as they were when they showed up. But on the other side of the cloud, the sun was shining on the children of Israel, and that light was not only light for guidance and direction, but was confirmation of the competency in Almighty God. In other words, when God's light is shining on you, then you ought to feel confident in the competence of Almighty God. Can I rewind that and say that again? When the light of God is shining in your life, you ought to have some confidence in the competence of Almighty God. So God, my brothers and sisters, put an angel between them. He put darkness and light between them. And then finally, my brothers and sisters, the Bible said that the wind started blowing. It was an east wind. And that east wind blew so long and so hard that it parted with Moses' command, the Red Sea, and put the water as a mountain, a wall of mountains on each side. And the storm, the wind was so strong that it licked up all the moisture off of the bottom of the Red Sea and made it into a walkway and a pathway for the children of Israel to walk forth on dry ground. I got it. I get it. You don't know when to shout. You don't know when to get happy. You don't know when to rejoice. Here it is that God said, if you go forward, I will make sure that the path you are walking forward will be safe. And I'll have protection behind you. I'll have things on the side of you. And I am the God who makes a way. Can somebody shout, he is the God who makes a way? Yes, you got to witness God's wonders. And I'm wondering today, why wasn't the 10 plagues enough for them to believe? Why wasn't it enough for them to see the staff that Moses was carrying turn from a rod into a snake, back into a rod? Why wasn't it enough for them to see the firstborn of Egypt killed and slayed, yet they, with the blood over the doorpost, the death angel passed over, my brothers and sisters, and spared everyone who had blood on their doorpost? Can I raise a question with you? Can I ask you a question I think that is worth answering? Why is it that after everything you and I have seen God do, the wonders he has worked in our lives, why is it that we still don't have the faith that we need to deal with our current situation? And you're saying to me, preacher, you don't understand. This situation is different than the last situation. It might be. But can I tell you what isn't different? God is not different. He handled the last problem. He can deal with this one. He brought you through the last ordeal. He can bring you through this one. This is not the first time you've been broke. You've been broke before, but he got you through that. This is not the first time you had a problem in a relationship. This wasn't the first time your little bitty, itty bitty heart was broken. But God got you through that. He'll get you through this. This ain't the first time you've been sick. This ain't the first time you've had surgery. This ain't the first time the doctor has has given you a bad report. But guess what? If God is faithful enough and God enough to do in your life what he's done before, his wondrous works, his mighty acts, the great things that he can do, he is still a mighty God with a mighty right arm, and he can get you through this and take you into a future that is bright, and you will have freedom if you learn how to trust the Lord. But not only must you, my brothers and sisters, work with what you have, witness God's wonders, but can I drop one more on you? And that is you got to walk through peril to worship. Somebody shout, walk through peril to worship. Let me just finish this up. Verse 22 says that the children of Israel walk through the sea on dry ground. Now that excites me, but you have to understand that although you and I are going forward and the children of Israel are going forward, that does not negate the fact that there was still danger looming all around them. You might take it for granted because it's a story that you learned in Sunday school when you were a child, but the last time I checked, water still drowns people. And the Bible says that they were walking on dry ground, but the mist of the water from the waves that were on the sides of them was still blowing on them. As a reminder that death and danger are always looming around us, even when we are going forward. I don't want you to think that just because you got faith, it don't mean that something bad can still happen. But don't you understand, and can you admit that just living life and breathing oxygen is dangerous? You and I took a risk when we drove in here to church on this morning, and most of us greeted each other, if nothing else, from a distance. But how many of you know that COVID is still alive and well and surging in our community? Every time we leave our house, we take a risk. And every time we come in, we take a risk, because life is full of danger and the possibility of death. But God, in the midst of everything that was going on, they could walk through the peril, the danger of the water, and the fear of being drowned, the fear that that the waters would not stand up long enough for everybody to make it. Remember, this was not just men and going on this journey. This was men and women and children and babies and livestock. This was hundreds upon hundreds of people who were walking this journey. And the Bible says that not one single animal, not one single person, not one single woman or baby or man was drowned in that water who was with the people of God. They all made it through to dry ground. And I know you're asking me today, I can see the peril in the text, and I can see them walking in the text, but where is the worship? Well, the worship is in verse 15 and verses 1 through 3. The people of Israel began to sing a song of the mighty acts and the wondrous works of Almighty God. They began to celebrate how God is a mighty warrior and a man of war. They began to celebrate that God can conquer even the greatest enemies in the known world. And I've come today, my brothers and sisters, to suggest to you that all of us have seen the wonders of God. All of us have used to some degree what's in our hand. All of us have walked through peril, and all of us at some point have worshiped God for what it is he has done. But what I want to know is, based upon where you are at this juncture in your life, can you still do what you've always done and expect God to do the same thing he's always done for you? I wonder this morning if there's somebody here who is willing to thank God for what he has done. Now, I told you this morning, without a great amount of pomp and circumstance or celebration, we did a little bit of patty cake this morning. When I told you that Sister Alexis and Pastor McClendon both have tested negative with COVID. Last week this time, they tested positive for it. But now they have, or 2 weeks ago, but now they're tested negative for it. I work in a hospital where people are dying every day from COVID, but we got the testimony that our pastor and our first lady have survived COVID-19, and all we did was a little bit of patty cake. But I've come to tell you, we have seen the wonders of God, that once again, God has done something miraculous. He took a disease that could have taken them out and pushed that disease back, and is giving them the opportunity at another chance to serve and to give God what God is due. And I believe that's just worthy of worship, because that's a wonder of Almighty God. How many remember when a storm came through Midlothian and blew down the farmhouse over there off the highway, and that we were trying to renovate. And don't you know, out of that disaster, what did God do? He turned that thing around and enabled us not only to still retain the land, but watch this, now we're in a better financial position now than we were before, all a result of a disaster. That is the wonders of Almighty God. And has anybody else got a testimony in here today that God can turn things around in your life? And when he does so, I just believe that he's worthy of worship. Yes, and so that's why I come this morning on my way to my seat, all ready to say to you that we've got a reason to stay the course. Can somebody shout, stay the course? We got a reason to keep on as a church, believing in what it is that God can do, trusting in the power of what God can do, believing that no matter what happens to us in the future, that God has already guaranteed that the faithful are going to make it to their destination and realize their destiny. So I don't know about you, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all of this uncertainty, in the midst of all that we are going through, I'm still determined to tithe like I've always tithed. I'm still determined to serve like I've always served. I'm still determined to give God the glory in spite of what's going on. In fact, I think somebody ought to just get excited right where you are about all that God has done. Yeah, food is still on the table. God is still worthy. The mortgage and the rent still being paid in a pandemic. God is still worthy of the praise. People are dropping like flies all around us every day, but we still got health and strength. Can I just try to get at least one or two people to get excited here in the sanctuary and somewhere on the internet about how God has kept you, and worship Almighty God? I just think you ought to lift your hands. I just think you ought to put them together and clap. I just think somebody ought to leap up off the couch and shout glory. I just think somebody ought to start doing a dance all around the living room, because in spite of what it is we've been through, because we are willing to go forward, God is willing to be God in the midst of our lives, and God is still God. Can somebody shout, God is still God? And God will not fail. God will come through. And even if we die, God is still God. And that reminds me of somebody who would not stop going forward. His name is Jesus. And the Bible said his disciples begged him not to go to Jerusalem. And he said, I need must go to Jerusalem. He knew he had a date with destiny and had a date with a cross on Calvary. And the Bible says, because of you and me and the sins we committed and still commit and will commit, Jesus went all the way to the cross of Calvary. He willingly got on the cross. He willingly let them put nails in his feet. He willingly let them drive stake in his feet. He willingly let them drive stakes in his hand. He willingly hung on that cross and he willingly died, but he wouldn't stay dead. Early on Sunday morning, the Bible declares that he got up with all power in his hand. And so now he went down, but he came up. And when he came up, he brought us up with him. And I don't know about you, but now I'm willing and I'm going to go forward no matter what happens. God is still in charge. God is still on the throne. God is still ruling the universe. God is still the one who's giving direction to us today. That's all I got to say. I'm done. But I encourage you today that if life is going, if you're going to be free and you're going to have a future, I encourage you to go forward and let's keep doing what God called us to do. God be praised. Let's put our hands together and give God glory in this place.